Zaragoza followed his son to the gate and stood watching him as he rode across the wooden bridge toward the heart of the town, the old San Fernando Cathedral, and the main plaza. When the Mexican finally turned, his dark eyes were sad. Isaac moved a little, for his leg had cramped. Zaragoza looked up, recognizing him. He nodded. Isaac nodded back. He was surprised to see Zaragoza climb up to join him. If they had not developed a real friendship within these walls, the shared experience had made them tolerant of one another. Watching Zaragoza send his son away had touched a responsive chord in Isaac. It brought home to him the fact that though they might be of different races, different cultures, they were all similar human beings at the core. Zaragoza looked out across the top of the wall, silent for a moment. He was gazing in the direction Manuel had taken.
Can you still see him?
He is gone. I told him he must go.
He didn't act like he wanted to.
I told him one Zaragoza in this compound is enough. I told him the danger is great, that he is young, and I want him to live to be a very old man. I told him also that he is the oldest son, and if I am gone, his mother will need him.
You talk like you don't think much of your chances, our chances.
I was a long time a soldier. In my heart, I am still a soldier. A soldier stands where he is needed, and he fights and does not count the enemy. But you are not a soldier. I wonder why you stay.
I wonder myself. I guess it's because the others do. An old crocodile down there, I can't even remember the first time ever I heard about him. Don't seem right for one Tennessean to run away and leave the other one to do the fighting for him.
And your brothers? What of them?
Odd thing about them. All these years I've wanted to get away from them and have my own life, I always stayed because I thought they needed me. Now I'm here, and they're way east yonder, and they ain't sent no message begging me to come home. Maybe they don't need me like I thought.
Perhaps what you do here is for them. If we can stop Santa Ana, if we can even slow him down, perhaps we will give the Texas Army time to be ready.
But is there a Texas Army? From all I've heard, it's scattered to hell and gone, what there is of it, and everybody fighting so hard amongst themselves that they ain't got time for fighting Santa Ana.
I think they will awaken when they see the enemy coming. They must.
Zaragoza's gaze went back to the town, to the flat-topped stone and adobe houses, to the tower of the San Fernando Church. He was still looking for his son.
He's gone. He's a good boy, I reckon. He done what you told him.
Perhaps Santa Ana will turn back from these walls when he sees we are ready.
Isaac saw a rider spurring hard from the direction of town. It was a Mexican civilian, a man whose face had become familiar to Isaac, though he did not know his name. His excited manner brought Isaac to full attention, and automatically his gaze went to the southern horizon, searching. The bell was in the tower of the San Fernando Church. It was not the time of day for mass. He saw frenzied movement in the distant streets. Men on horseback were hurrying toward the fortress. Texans and volunteers from the United States who had been sleeping in town instead of inside the crowded post. Shortly, a group of Mexican civilian horsemen came pushing a herd of cattle toward the walls, beef to withstand a siege.
It is Juan Seguin and his men. I must go to help them. You know what this means. The enemy is upon us.
The cold, damp wind gave Isaac a chill that seemed to go all the way to his boots.
And the grass ain't even up yet.
Lieutenant Diaz had expected to return someday to San Antonio de Bar, but he had not thought it would be with such a grand army as this one. At least, it had seemed a grand army when it had gathered at the Rio Grande. The steady march into a cold, wet Texas winter had been a grievous ordeal for men afoot and for the horses. There had been little grass from Laredo north, partly because of the dormant winter season, and partly because Texan scouts had done the best they could to burn off the old dead grass that at least would have filled the horses' bellies, even if its nutrients had been sparse. Rain had put a stop to the burning, but the grass was brown and empty, and the animals had grown thin. Diaz carried a small diary in his pocket. In it, he had marked the important dates. Now he took out a short pencil and noted this date.
February 23rd, 1836. Entering San Antonio de Bar.
The president himself rode just behind the advance guard, resplendent in his best uniform. As he entered the main plaza, before and behind him fluttered the banners of the various army units, and the red, green, and white flag that symbolized the glory of Mexico. The eagle with a snake in its teeth, its claws clutching a cactus. Soon, Santa Anna would have a snake in his teeth, and he would administer to these invaders such a terrible defeat that never again would Americans even consider crossing over the Sabine. Never again would military scholars devote all their attention to Napoleon Bonaparte. They would marvel at the greatest warrior of them all, the Napoleon of the West, General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna. The red flag of no quarter was raised over the tower of the San Fernando Church. The 18-pound cannon at the Alamo was fired toward the city in reply. The battle for the Alamo had begun.